came from other countries like Cote d'Ivoire and Togo. It's a Baptist university, but it also means that we are training people from Pentecostal churches like Assemblies of God and so on. The church in Ghana is different to a large extent. They dance during praise time. There's long periods of worship when they go to church. And the Baptist churches normally will have Sunday school, like an hour of Sunday school before the main service. I preached in a few churches since I've been there, but the main focus has been going back to lecture in the university. It used to be a seminary. It's now a university. I did that for 15 years previously. Came over here to study and pastor over here, as some of you may know. But I had to go back to what I used to do initially when I got called into ministry. I got called to teach, to train my brothers and sisters to go out into ministry, just as some people did for me. So it's exciting to be back because I left the family over here. I left you lovely people here. And it's good to see your pretty faces this morning and to be worshiping together. The way I see things means that you've been keeping the faith. You haven't deserted me. And above all, you haven't deserted Jesus Christ. You still love him. Let's carry on loving him, because that's the only thing we can do. We are here. We've been planted here on this earth in order to love him. One of the songs we sing is, "The reason I live is to love him and to love him more, to know him and to know him more." Paul says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and to be made conformable unto his death." Death of the resurrection. But Paul will be doing this in his old age. I like Paul for one thing. He was like Oliver Twist spiritually. He wanted more of the Lord. And I'm like Paul. I want more of Jesus. As we drove here, I was praying and was saying, "Lord, fill me. Fill me with more of you. Let my brothers and sisters see more of you in me. Let them hear more of you in me." So why don't we turn to prayer now and ask God to speak to us. We've been speaking to God in worship. We've been speaking to God in praise. Let's ask him now to speak into our lives. You did not come here to listen to me. You didn't come here to listen to man. You came here to listen to God. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for coming together as we've done over the years in this place we call our meeting place. We exalt your name, we adore you, we hallow you. Lord, we want your presence here. We want your presence in tangible ways, in manifest ways, in concrete ways, that we may walk away with your presence still at work in us to will and to do according to your good pleasure. Now, Lord, we humbly ask you to speak, to address us. Speak to us in ways that we would understand, in ways that we'll be challenged, we'll be stirred to be better people. Lord, fill us with your word. Fill us like you did with David as we look at Psalm 23 this morning. That, Lord, in the end, we might be like David, specializing in praise and worship of our awesome and mighty God. And together to say with the songwriter, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. You are mighty, you are big, you are awesome, you are great. You are holy, you are faithful, you are true, you are just. Lord, speak that thy servants may hear thine gracious word. Longing for that voice that cheereth, Master, let it now be heard. Speak through this vessel. I'm ordinary, I'm human, I'm frail. But speak to us. For it's that moment, it's that period, it's that hour. Speak to us, we pray. For we ask in the mighty one, our Lord and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning we'll be looking at Psalm 23. I'm sure some of you can even recite it if I asked us to do so. But don't panic, I'm not going to ask you. You look at me. Don't panic, I'm not going to ask you. Okay? Don't panic. I'm a teacher, but I don't do that too. Wonderful folks like you. I want to look at that theme, the Lord our shepherd leader. In our world today, people have all kinds of leaders. They have all kinds of idols. We live in a celebrity culture, don't we? And people have all kinds of people they follow, all kinds of people they listen to. When that person speaks, they listen, they sit up. Can I introduce to you my celebrity, my hero? God himself, the one who put us here, the one who planted our feet on a rock to stay. He's got various names, and we can spend the time looking at his names. But that's not what I want to look at this morning. We'll be using the images of a shepherd and a gracious host. In this psalm, David reflected on the many benefits the Lord gave him in the dangers of life. And David concluded that God's persistent, listen, his persistent one, his loving protection would restore him to full communion. When God wants us, he wants us completely. When God wants us, he's not going to stop at anything. He'll come get us wherever we are. Whatever we are hiding, he will come get us. I say these things because I know personally in life it's been like that. God came after me and got me. And now I'm tied up and wrapped up and entangled up with him. And he's my all in all. I want more of him, more of his love. Like the song says. Let's read through this psalm. If you have your Bibles. Is it going to be on the screen? You don't have it? Okay, let me read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can that be said of you? Sometimes there is a tendency for us to behave as if God isn't where we are. What do you think? Do you think God is here now? It's easy to say he's here and now, isn't it? But when we go home, will he be there? Does your theology teach you that he will be there? And the fact that God is everywhere at the same time. Jesus said in Matthew, didn't he? Matthew 28, and lo, I'm with you always. He's with us. So wherever we are, whatever we do, he is with us. He's where we are. But sometimes we go naughty. We go on the naughty trip and we behave as if God isn't there. If we knew Jesus is here, as we are here now in this place of worship, there are things we would never say. Is that correct? Mom, is that correct? She says, that's right. She agreed with me. There are things we would never do in this place. Is that correct again? But there are things we are allowed to do at home. Naughty things. Is that correct? Well, see, God is everywhere. He's as much in our homes as he is here. And he wants to be in our lives. He wants to be with us. He wants to be working with us. We are in a process, or in the process of being transformed in his image. We read John's epistle and it says, now it does not yet appear what we'll be like. But when he appears, we will be like him. And those of us who have this in mind are purifying themselves against that day. The Lord, our shepherd leader, he is our leader. He watches over us. He's the one who wants to be shepherd. That's how the psalmist describes him. The psalmist employed the figure of a shepherd to recall the blessings he enjoyed from the Lord. And the Lord here is a reference to Yahweh. The Lord, in other words, Yahweh is my shepherd. He recalls. In other words, he brings back to memory what he's experienced. So he's writing as one who is testifying. The metaphor was a natural one for David, the shepherd king. David being a shepherd, I always say that in Wales, I don't need to teach you who a shepherd is. Right? We've got many shepherds in Wales, haven't we? Because there are more sheep in Wales than humans, I'm told. You agree with me? So there's nothing about a shepherd I'm going to teach you. You know it all. So today is going to be a recall. It's going to be a reminder. Right? But those of you who don't know who a shepherd is or what a shepherd is, please ask the good Welsh like me after the service. And we will teach you a few things. Okay? Right. So we'll move on. David was a shepherd boy, right? When God called him, when he uses that metaphor, when he uses that image to speak what he's saying or to say what he's saying, he knows what he's saying. He's been looking after sheep. He's been watching over his father's sheep. And we can go at length into that. David figures out the fact that God is a shepherd. God watches over his own. It was also a common metaphor in the ancient Near East. As many kings compare themselves to shepherds in their leadership capacity. The word pastor, I'm sure you've heard it before. I like to be called pastor because it reminds me of what burden God has put on me, not to lord it over the people. But the word pastor comes from this field, pasture. It has the idea of flock. It's got the idea of feeding God's people, looking after them, watching over them. Most of them had a past time or a profession, this profession of being shepherds. So they, when David uses that expression in that place, they understood what he meant. The prophecy of the coming Messiah incorporated the same. Isaiah 40:11. Can I quickly say that when you look at the prophecies of Isaiah from chapters 1 to 39, talks about Israel worshiping God, they sinning, they go into subjugation, and then there's restoration. That's what the first 39 chapters cover. But in chapter 40, you remember, it begins by, comfort ye, my people, comfort. And talks about prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the highway a new way for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain made low. The crooked shall be made straight. So God is talking about comforting his people. They've been in subjugation for so long. He's going to talk about comfort. He's a shepherd God, and he will come your way. The Lord as a leader will come your way. And he's not just a leader, as a leader in our world today, but he is the God who will shepherd. He's called the great shepherd in Hebrews 13:20. And of course, he's also the good shepherd in John chapter 10, verse 14. And the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5:4. Because the Lord was David's shepherd, his needs were met. Tell me this morning, who is your shepherd? What needs do you have? I dare you bring them to the shepherd. That shepherd will meet that need if only you've made him your leader. The first blessing David experienced was spiritual nourishment. Let's look at verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Think about that. The first blessing David experienced was spiritual nourishment. As a shepherd leads sheep to fresh grass for feeding, so the Lord leads his people. One who follows the Lord does not lack any spiritual nourishment. Irrespective of where you find yourself, God is everywhere. He's every place. At the same time, as we established earlier on, and because he's there, then he would watch over me. I'm not alone. He is with us all the time. He's with us in the valley and on the mountaintop. He's with us when we ford the river, and he would uphold us with his free spirit. Let's look at the second blessing. This is 2b to 3a. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. A second blessing that comes from the Lord's leading is spiritual nourishment. First of all, spiritual restoration. We looked at spiritual nourishment. This time, spiritual restoration. Spiritual restoration. As a shepherd leads his sheep to placid waters for rest and cleansing, so the Lord restores or refreshes the soul. Here the spiritual lesson is clear. The Lord provides forgiveness and peace for those who follow him. Do you feel guilty this morning? In a moment, we'll be coming to the Lord's table. Do you feel lacking in any way? Do you feel lonely and dejected and discarded and rejected? The Lord will come through for you this morning. The Lord will undertake for you. He has not brought us this far, as it were, to leave us. And we used to say, he hasn't lifted us up to let us down. He hasn't built his home in us to move away. He hasn't taught us to swim to let us drown. So what we ought to be doing is to claim each one of his promises. David is giving us a cue. The way he's done it for David, God intends to do it for you and I. Here and now, he will restore to a joyful place when we have been feeling guilty and down and out. He will restore us. Let's look at the third one, and verses 2b to 3a again. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because of God's name we bear, he would do something. What would he do? The third blessing that comes from the Lord's leading is guidance. He will lead us in the right way. Paths of righteousness. A good shepherd knows the right paths on which to bring the sheep home safely. So too the Lord loses none of his sheep. The old hymn says, perverse and foolish I oft stray, and yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. That's what God does. He doesn't mean to discard us. The devil will tell us, he doesn't like you, that thing you've done. You call yourself a Christian, look what you've just done. Look the words you've just used. You should be ashamed of yourself. And leaves you there, sulking and licking your wounds, as it were. But God will come through. God will come through. And you see, he doesn't delay 1 minute, not even 1 second. He's always on time. In his time, he will make all the things beautiful. He guides us in the right way. He does so partly because of his reputation, his namesake. I bear his name, and he will come through for me. He will come through for me. The fourth blessing. See, we've looked at three already. The fourth blessing from the Lord's leading is protection. Verses 3 and 4. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm not sure how the New International Version says it, but it wouldn't use yea like my New King James Version uses it. I don't use Old King James, I use New King James. New King James says yea. It's a good word. The word yea is a good word. Brother, what does it say in yours? Or whoever has New International Version, NIV. It says yea. It says even. Even. These are all good words. I'm sure he uses the Old King James, so he's a very spiritual man. Yeah. He uses the Old King James. That's all right. That's all right. So we've looked at four blessings. We looked at four blessings, and we rejoice in the Lord for that. Now, I'd like to move on very quickly, as we'll be coming to the Lord's table soon. There are two more principles I'd like to share with us. The second one is the Lord as provider. The Lord is our provider. Verse 5, the Lord as provider. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. We know how, those of us who have hairs on our heads, we know how important it is to oil our hairs, isn't it? When we go to the salon, we put oil in our hairs. When I go to the barbers and they cut my hair, they spray olive oil in my hair. And you know how important it is. Once we've washed our hairs, then we oil it. And we come back smelling good and feeling even more confident. That's how it is. Isn't that true? That's a fact, especially we the ladies. We come back from the salon very happy, very excited. So it's good. He anoints my head with oil. In this verse, the scene changes to a banquet hall, where a gracious host provides lavish hospitality. And at this imagery, the psalmist rejoiced in the Lord's provision. What was comforting to David was that this was in the presence of his enemies. David was one person who knew loads of enemies. He had enemies. Saul was one of them. Saul chased him around to kill him. And in his battles, there were enemies who sought David. And they wanted to kill him. They wanted to eliminate him. We may not have David's type of enemies today, but we are reminded in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are in a battle, but our battle is a spiritual one. So we have enemies too. We don't see them. The dangerous aspect of it is that we don't see them with our eyes. And when we lose guard, they hurt us. There are nights when I'm waking from sleep and I can't sleep. I can't go back to sleep until I have prayed and until I've prayed through. And when it happens that way, you know the enemy is lurking around seeking to devour. 1 Peter 5 says, the devil is roaring around and seeking whom he may devour. The Lord as a provider. He's our provider, Lord. He's our provider, Savior. He's our provider, Shepherd. We should hold on to him for all that we need. We can say, Lord, because you are our provider, God, you will provide even though I do not have now. You will be instant, not a second late in providing. The image of anointing the head with oil, which was refreshing and soothing, harmonizes with the concept of a gracious host welcoming someone into his home. I'm sure if you welcomed me to your home, you give me a nice proverbial Welsh cup of tea. That wouldn't be out of place in the welcoming. And if it's lunchtime, you're going to give me a nice Sunday roast with all the trimmings, which is good. And after that, we would have the afters, the dessert, and then there'll be more cups of tea. You are a good host, but being hospitable, making me nice. God is more than just a good host. Remember, this is his world we live in. Before we got here, he's been here. This is his world. And he put us here in order to dress us up. He put us here in order to look after us. He's so responsible in that regard. In view of the table and the oil, David knew that his lot in life, that is his cup, was abundant blessing from the Lord. Jesus himself said, "The thief comes not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." John 10:10. The shepherd as leader was the first point. The shepherd as provider is the second point. Let me go to the third. The response of faith. Let's look at the response of faith. In view of the fact that the shepherd is leader and provider, we need to respond in faith. David realized that the Lord's good, loyal love, hesed, would go with him everywhere through all his life. God's hesed was with me whilst I flew back here. I had to fly three times. I had to fly from where I was teaching in a jet, in a small aircraft, from Kumasi to Accra, from Accra to Amsterdam, and from Amsterdam to Cardiff. So three flights. And I said, "Lord, whether in the air or on the ground, please be with me. Let your presence be there with me." And it was well. "Lord, when we taxi off and take off, be with me. When we are landing, be with me." And I'm here because the Lord has done that. I just arrived yesterday morning, so it's still fresh. That's one reason I'm late this morning in coming here. I'm still struggling. Britain is 1 hour ahead of Ghana, and Amsterdam or Netherlands is 2 hours ahead of Ghana. So different time zones. My wife said, "You know, you don't have a jet lag. You don't have a jet lag when you come from Ghana." Well, I was trying to use jet lag as an excuse, but she wouldn't have any of it. Jet lag or no jet lag, God is with us. And because he is with us, we need to respond in faith. David realized that the Lord's goodness was loyal love, as I said earlier on. Hesed would go with him everywhere through all his life. God's blessings on his people remain with them, no matter what their circumstance may be. Goodness. So he concluded, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The house of the Lord referred to the sanctuary, the tabernacle, or tabernacle, depending on which one you prefer, for the rest of his life. David needed God's protection. He needed God's provision. He needed God's leadership all throughout his life. We all need that as well. All throughout our lives, we need him. We need him because we are like children, not knowing how to look after ourselves. David would enjoy full communion with the Lord. In fact, the Hebrew verb translated, "I will dwell," conveys the idea of returning. The same verb is translated, "He restores," verse 3. Perhaps the psalmist was in some ways separated from the sanctuary and full enjoyment of his spiritual benefits. His meditation on the Lord's leading and provision prompted him to recall his communion with the Lord in his presence in the sanctuary. In a moment, we will be coming to communion in God's presence in this place we call sanctuary. Yes, he's here, but he's also in our homes. My prayer is for us to respond in faith as we come to communion. And as we respond in faith, for God to be the provider shepherd in bringing into our various lives every need we represent this morning. It may be financial need. It may be an emotional need. It may be an academic need. It may be a medical need. May He provide. May He provide in abundance. And may we live here laden with God's sufficiency for life in our difficult world. Our world is often difficult. Now we have this thing called Ebola. And it could be something that started in Africa by spreading. And when I hear the name, I cringe. What is this? Some people say it's an evil. It's killing people. It's devouring people. But in the midst of Ebola, the Lord is our shepherd. And we shall not want it. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our souls. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. For He is with us. His rod, His staff, they comfort us. Surely, His goodness will follow us every step of the way. He will bring us to the place where we are restored. We are nourished. We are fed. We are protected. We are secured. We are not alone. He is with us. God is with us. The psalmist says somewhere else, He's our very present help in trouble. Our shepherd is our leader. He's our provider. And as a result, we respond in faith. Do you believe Him? The words you've heard today ought to be in our hearts, ought to be in our lives. Let's pray, shall we? Do you feel God has been speaking to you this morning? Then just say thank you to Him. Do you feel you've been nourished this morning? Just thank God. Are you happy that you've been in His presence? Just thank Him. And as we pray, I invite the stewards to join me up front, please. In your life, mention the need and trust Him to provide. Almighty God, we thank You. We exalt and glorify Your name. We hallow You again. Thank You for being here. Thank You for speaking to us in the way You've done this morning. We rejoice in the fact that You are a good God and being with us. We praise You and bless You. We magnify You. Be exalted. Be exalted in our lives. Be exalted, O God. Be exalted. Be exalted, O Lord. Be exalted again and again. May you become worthy in our lives. O Lord, may you become worthy and greatly to be praised, God, in our lives. May you show forth in our lives. May you be evident to all who we are and what we stand for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is He's Lord. He's Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus.